Ultrasound Gel Podcast.
Ultrasound Gel Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Ultrasound Gel Podcast. I'm Mike Pratz, and today I'm joined with Dr. Cray Bolger and Dr. Jacob Avila. The study we're going to discuss today is called Extravasation Risk Using Ultrasound-Guided Peripheral Intravenous Catheters for Computed Tomography Contrast Administration. Lead author Jordan Rupp. This was published, I believe it's ahead of print at this time, in Academic Emergency Medicine in May of 2016. So, Craig, can you give us a little background on this study?
Yes, that title is quite a mouthful, Mike. So this is a retrospective study, and it was done at Vanderbilt University over 5 years, kind of looking back at all the patients over 18 years of age who got a CAT scan with IV contrast. And what they were looking at is whether ultrasound-guided IVs had higher extravasation rates than standard peripheral IVs. And the reason why they were looking at this is traditionally in the literature, which there have been very few small studies looking at this, there is a little bit of a stigma over ultrasound-guided IVs that they have higher extravasation rates.
Yeah, that's totally true. I mean, every time you know a patient's going to get a CT, the nurses seem very hesitant if you placed it with IV to send them. And I've even heard of some institutions where they don't allow you to get a CT with contrast if they know it's going to be a high-pressure bolus or something through an ultrasound-guided IV.
Yep. And so this study was looking at exactly that population. What they did is, again, a retrospective chart review where they compared patients who had a CAT scan with IV contrast and looked at what access they had, whether it was traditionally placed or ultrasound placed. And so what they did is everybody who had an ultrasound-guided IV, they compared them to a random poll of the other several thousand patients. What they found is actually they had about 40,000 patients get CTs with IV contrast, and only 364% of those had ultrasound-guided IVs.
Not 364%. That would be a high number.
No. 364 patients. Yes. And what they did is looked at those 364 and compared them to about a 2% sample of the other 40,000. And the reason why is obviously comparing 40,000 to 364, your numbers are going to be a little bit skewed. So they tried to match as much as they could in that regard. And then they looked at the characteristics of the patients who had ultrasound-guided IVs, vascular disease, IV drug abuse, hospitalization, gender,
chemotherapy, high BMIs.
Yeah, kind of all the things that make a patient a higher risk for being a challenging vascular access patient. They used multivariable logistic regression to hopefully control for that, because if you think about it, we're going to have a hard time matching patients in these two populations. You know, the 20-year-old who's getting a CT appy maybe with contrast compared to the 80-year-old getting an aorta study are going to be very different patients, and their venous structure is going to be very different. So they did their best they could to kind of subtract those risk factors that automatically come usually with getting an ultrasound-guided IV.
Right, because I guess just to summarize, their goal was to say, does getting an IV placed under ultrasound guidance have an inherent risk to itself, regardless of any other factors that may predispose a patient to having risk for the IV blowing during a contrast administration?
And this is a pretty challenging, I think, question to answer. Again, these patient populations are usually inherently different. So isolating out that one factor of, is it the ultrasound-guided IV that makes their IVs blow, or is it the type of CT they're getting, or is it just the patient themselves that makes their IV blow? I think this is a pretty challenging question that these authors tried to tackle.
Yeah, I agree. And I understand why they did it the way they did. When they took all of the ultrasound-guided IV group that they had, which was the 364 people, and then because they wanted to just compare it to a random sample that were somewhat of a control, being non-ultrasound-guided IVs, they took 2% of everybody else who had gotten a CT and used that as their control group.
Yep.
So, and then, like Cray said, they did this multivariable logistic regression to attempt to see if there's any independent risk of the ultrasound guidance. So, all that to say, Cray, what did they end up finding?
So, unfortunately or fortunately, depending on how you looked at it, they confirmed what previous studies had shown. The extravasation rate for ultrasound-guided IVs was 3.6%, which was 13 of those 364 patients, compared to 0.3% of those with standard IV. So pretty significantly increased rate of extravasation. When they did the relative risk, it was 13.9, and the absolute risk difference was 3.3%. Because this is a fairly rare occurrence, you know, extravasation occurs in less than 1% of patients getting CTs with IV contrast. They were able to also use an odds ratio, which came out to 8.6. So unfortunately, it still showed that there was definitely a higher rate and a higher likelihood of having extravasation with ultrasound-guided IVs.
Yeah, and another outcome that I think is a little more patient-centered is, did these extravasation events result in any problems or further actions to the patients? So they looked at what happened to all these extravasation cases, and they tried to see, were there similar events of interventions that were required? And I think they found overall that pretty similar throughout the two groups. Nobody really required anything major. There was a bunch in both groups that needed plastic surgery consultations, but it seems like most of them were kind of treated just symptomatically and seemed to improve after that.
Yeah, I think some of this may be institution dependent as far as their protocols for extravasation, but nobody had any significant complications with extravasation.
Yeah, so let's talk about some of the limitations to this study. It was just a single center, and this center does have a great dedicated ultrasound training program, so it's hard to compare them placing ultrasound-guided IVs to people who may have less experience doing that. There's a few things that they didn't look at comparing just because the data wasn't available, whether they, what size the catheter was, what length, either 1.75 or 2.5 inches, they said were the ones that were generally used, but they couldn't tell between those two which one it was. Obviously, this was a retrospective study, and that always has inherent biases to it. And then the two-stage model that they had to do, when we talked about how they first had to find all the ultrasound-guided IV group, and then they had to take a 2% sample of the other group, there are some things that would kind of limit the interpretation of the data, because you're just taking a random sample of a proportion of the group, and I think it gets a little bit complicated. But I agree with what they did, that it is kind of the best that you could do for this study, and I think it does have a lot of interesting results. So one thing to discuss, Cray, do you think that they accounted for all of the confounders that they could have?
I think they accounted for a lot of them. I have a few kind of remaining questions that I'd like to see studied after reading this study. So I'd like to know where the IVs were placed. Were these distal or proximal to the antecubital fossa? Because I think that definitely changes things. The caliber of the IV being used. I know at our institution, we require a 20-gauge or higher for IV contrast. What kind of CAT scans were being done? Was there a specific type of CAT scan where there was a higher extravasation rate? For example, when they're giving boluses for angiography studies, those kind of things. I know it's a dream world for me, but I'd love to see this patient population match. So 20-year-old IV drug abuser with ultrasound-guided IV, 20-year-old IV drug abuser with traditionally placed peripheral IV, getting the same type of study, and then let's really look then at extravasation rates, or let's pare it down to a specific CAT scan. We know these angiography studies tend to have higher extravasation rates just because they're getting bolused through a power injector, and so it'd be interesting to see when we really get to that higher risk population and match one-on-one the confounders, how bad the extravasation rates are between the two groups. I think ultrasound-guided IVs are getting a bad rap, and sometimes they're the only choice we have. And so I'd really like to kind of clear the air about this subject, or at least, you know what we're getting into going forward, so maybe we come up with an alternative.
That's a great point. I mean, that study may be impossible to do because the people that have bad veins, for whatever reason, you may not have an option besides ultrasound guided IV. So I think that's a really important point, that this study is good that we know that there is an increased risk, but at the end of the day, may not change your options that you have. If you need the CT, you need the CT. it might be a risk that you have to take.
Yeah, I think this maybe just will change the way we counsel patients. You know, you need this CAT scan. It's the same when your creatinine's mildly elevated. We think you need this CAT scan. You know, there's a risk that you could have increased kidney injury. However, you know, the risk of not finding out what's actually wrong with you is much higher than that. And just doing informed decision making with the patient. You know, we had to use an ultrasound guided IV because we can't get access any other way. You do have a higher risk of this, and here's what can happen with extravasation. I think we rarely have a full conversation with patients about contrast extravasation before every CAT scan, nor do I think that's necessary with every single CT scan. But maybe in these higher risk patients, rather than saying let's throw out all ultrasound guided IVs, they just get a different risk benefit discussion beforehand.
That's wonderfully put. And now let's hear Jacob's take. Jacob?
I love ultrasound-guided IVs. I am by no means an expert in the matter, but I'm sort of obsessed with the literature behind it. You know, things like what type of catheter you should be using, what type of vein you should select, which technique is best to use, you know, long axis versus short axis. And I have to echo what Cray said about wanting more data regarding exactly how, where, and with what equipment the ultrasound-guided IVs were placed. I'd also like to know the experience level of the person placing the IV. I know Mike can place an ultrasound-guided IV with his non-dominant hand while sipping on a Red Bull with the other, but I know my interns might struggle with the easiest, plumpest deep brachial. I would trust Mike's peripheral IV way more than I trust one for my intern. Experience matters, as it does the type of catheter you place. The long catheters are much less likely to extrav compared to the short ones. Also, the depth of the vein matters. Super shallow or super deep, increased failure rate. I know these data points are impossible to get from the retrospective data, but maybe a prospective study is in the works somewhere? Now, regarding the higher extrav risk, I say, who cares? I mean, I guess I care. And I agree that we should have a discussion with our patient and the patient's consultants regarding the increased risk, but I don't know. It just doesn't seem like it would be that much of an issue. Ultrasound-guided IVs shouldn't be placed as first-line IVs. They should be placed after at least two nurses have tried at least twice. That's four sticks. At least. These are patients that had crappy veins to start with and may not have even been able to get the contrast study at all if ultrasound was not used. So in this group that had absolutely no venous access, their rate of having a CT scan without any complication from that IV is 96.3%. That's a 96.3% success rate of giving contrast in a patient with a difficult IV access. Also, the rate of that ultrasound-guided IV infiltration causing any clinically significant injury is 0%. So yeah, contrast extrav rate is higher with ultrasound-guided IVs, but I think you're comparing apples to oranges here. You're comparing a patient with easy IV access to one with difficult IV access, or a diva, if you would. Those divas are going to have different rates of extrav, irrespective of whether it was placed under ultrasound guidance or not.
Thanks, Jacob. So I think the take-home points from this paper are that, yes, ultrasound-guided IVs are more likely to extravasate during IV contrast in CTs with a relative risk of about 14. Although this was kind of a small sample with some flaws in how it was evaluated, I think it gives us valuable information and kind of confirms what we all suspected. All right, well, thanks for listening this time, and we'll talk to you later.
More pressure, more gel, more pressure, more gel,
more pressure, more gel.